This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
That should give you the list, the excitement, the juju that you need to get through the next 3 hours. Now for us, that signifies the weekend. Of course, I have a very long training run on Friday, my last long training run before next weekend's half marathon, so I can't get too excited about Friday yet. But once that's done, baby, it's basketball and buku snacks for the weekend because it's supposed to rain and snow like nobody's business, depending upon where you are in the Northeast. My mom was getting blasted by the rain in Houston, and that same storm system is advancing its way across toward the Atlantic seaboard. And so there's going to be a storm again coming up this weekend. It seems like there have been so many Saturdays with inclement weather. But all right, if you insist, I'll stay inside and do nothing but watch basketball and eat. Yeah, can't wait. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you have not yet joined us in the first ever After Hours Women's Bracket Challenge, well, you got a few hours left, but come on, don't be slouches. The link is on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. I retweeted it not that long ago, so you can find it on my Twitter as well, A-Law Radio, and I'd love to hear how you did in the first round of the tournament. Did you pick the right upsets? That's really the name of the game now. And then also on our Facebook page, where I have pinned the link to the top of that page as well. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. If you happen to attend any games yourself on Thursday, or you're going over the course of the weekend, like our friend Jason from Pittsburgh, it's kind of fun to see and hear the noise coming from these various tournament sites. And that applies to the women's tournament as well, though they do it a little bit differently. They don't go neutral sites in the first couple rounds. Instead, the top seeds, some of the higher seeds in the bracket, have the chance to host. And that includes USC. The Trojans are a one seed for the first time in decades. Lindsey Gottlieb is relatively new on the scene, but not new to the Pac-12. She coached there before. It's a conference that she is very familiar with, though she left the Cleveland Cavaliers and went back to resurrect the USC program, even as the Trojans are about to depart, like most of the Pac-12, for different pastures. I won't say greener, but different. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Had a chance to catch up with Coach Lindsey Gottlieb of UFC just a few hours ago. And for Southern Cal, this is not new territory necessarily, but it's new for this group, right? New for this generation. It's been pretty cool to see how Coach has resurrected USC onto this national stage. How much anticipation for these tournament games, Coach? And not just the NCAA tournament, but tournament games on your own court.
Yeah, it's a ton of anticipation and excitement. I think at this point we're ready to play. It feels like it's been a while. But everyone is really grateful to not be getting on a plane today, to have Galen be the host center. We know that that doesn't guarantee us anything, but to be able to play at home is something, adds a little bit of excitement for sure. This year has been about bringing USC back to the forefront. So there are a lot of firsts, or there are a lot of firsts in a long time. And we take a lot of pride in that because of the three letters on our chest and the women who have come before us. And so they're in the moment, but they're very conscious of history.
Well, you mentioned the history, and obviously USC was a powerhouse going back to the 80s and the early 90s, and Cheryl Miller and Tina Thompson and some of the other greats. How much does it mean to you to have them now be around and be part of your present?
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's very surreal. It's really my vision kind of coming true, which is cool. When I took this job, you know, I knew that USC had this rich history, and we want to bring it back. It's not asking our current recruits or players to recreate something that happened 3 years ago. We were asking them to call upon the great history of this place, but do it your own way. And so now to have our success shine a light on the former players in our program that aren't just the former great players of USC, they're some of the greatest that this game has ever seen, and we believe they deserve, you know, a spotlight. Cheryl, Lisa, Tina, Coop, the McGees, I mean, these are Mount Rushmore type people, so to have them have our back, to have them be excited about us, and to also shine a light on their greatness has been one of, I think, the more rewarding things about this season.
Coach Lindsey Gottlieb of USC, a number one seed and looking to reach the Final Four for the first time since the mid-90s when it was a program that was dominated by some of those icons. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Whenever I read about you, I see quotes or I hear you talk about culture and family. What does that mean to you, Coach?
Well, I think in college basketball, you know, you're a team 365 days a year and there are only 30 regular season games. And so if you're only judging every day, you know, or your happiness or your what you see success as only on those game days, I think you're missing sort of all the good stuff in between. And quite honestly, I don't think you'll win as much then. So we try to build something lasting here. I want our players to enjoy being part of USC women's basketball. Obviously, winning is more fun. But I tell recruits or I tell people to, hey, come on the day after a loss and see how we are, because that's the real stuff too. And come on a random Tuesday in February and see if we still like being around each other. Those are the things I think measure success in a way that's a little bit more telling than just the scoreboard. And I think we're judged on the scoreboard, and shoot, we want to do a lot of winning and win some championships. But in terms of the big picture of what we do in the lives of hopefully 18 to 23-year-olds is more significant than just game day.
How challenging is that in the new era of college sports where you've got transfer portal and NIL, and it seems like a lot of it can be the wild, wild west at times?
Yeah, I think I'm more wired to handle that maybe than some. When I was leaving the NBA to come back to college basketball, people asked me, why would you want to go back into that, you know, kind of chaos? And first of all, some of the changes I believe should have been here a long time ago. Player autonomy, you know, getting paid for their name, image, and likeness. I get a paycheck, right? I get a bonus if we do well. Like, why shouldn't the players capitalize off their success? So I've always been a proponent of that. And to me, it allows you to build your team through the portal. It allows you to support players. But what it doesn't do is change the integrity of what matters in our locker room. You know, I think both things can happen at once. I can have, you know, 13 or 14 different conversations with various players about their goals or what their future looks like. Some in the WNBA and some going to law school. You know, some making NIL money, some not. And I think that's okay, right? We have to value one another. But what you need to do is have a culture built on people caring about, you know, what impacts winning or what impacts the program. And I think that if you do that in the locker room, you know, the other stuff doesn't scare me as much as long as you do it, you know, as long as you handle the portal and NIL in a way that allows you to have a successful program and empower young women to get everything they can out of this experience.
And not just that, but for the Pac-12, about to be this massive exodus and a change on the horizon with conference realignment, is that something you've pushed to the future and don't have to think about it for now?
It's so interesting. I think I wasn't thinking about it until the final Pac-12 everything, right? Like
yes.
The final this road
yes.
trip, the final championship. And I will say I take a lot of pride in that we won the final Pac-12 championship in Vegas, because the conference has meant so much to my life personally, but also it's been, you know, really, really important in college basketball. We are excited for a move to the Big Ten. I'm excited that people all over the country will get to see our team and not just West Coast people. I think the platform is huge. And when it's time, we'll obviously plan for that. But there is, I think, mourning something lost with the Pac-12 because there's so many great coaches and so many great teams. So, you know, we'll root for all of them to do well this postseason, and then we'll all go on our way, and we'll try and go do some damage in the Big Ten.
From USC, Coach Lindsey Gottlieb is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. A lot of people know you from your time with the Cavaliers. We have a huge station in Cleveland. They're massive fans. What did you take away from your time with the Cavs and in the NBA that you use now?
I would listen to you sometimes on my drive home.
Yes!
We would get home really late. You know, we'd land, you know, at the airport and get in our cars and go. So I would listen to you. I love Cleveland. We love Cleveland. My family enjoyed our time there. I have nothing but love for the fans, the team, still close, obviously, with the players and the coaches. But I think it made me a better coach. I think when you are able at any career to kind of pivot, and I went from being a head coach and very comfortable in what I was doing to go into a whole other world. It was still basketball, obviously, and the language of basketball translates, and I think a lot of things in coaching translate. But to get out of my comfort zone, and I learned a ton, and actually a ton that I'm using now, because we have, I don't know, more pro-style players, like in terms of spacing on the floor or ways to get into actions without necessarily being scripted all the time. I really call upon my NBA experiences a lot. And then to all the things you mentioned before, which is this ability to talk to players about their future. Like, it's okay to talk money, or it's okay to talk goals, it's okay to talk ambition, and at the same time try to coach a locker room into winning basketball. So the NBA experience was life-changing in so many ways. We could go on and on about that, but I will say I would not have left if it were not for USC and this particular job, because I really felt a part of something in Cleveland, and look at what they've done. They've been incredible and really turned it, and I'm very proud of being a small part of that at the beginning of that kind of culture shift and that growth process.
I'm going to pose the same question to you that I asked of Lisa Bluter over the weekend, and she's so passionate, so energetic, same thing, brings so much to the women's college game, but she's all excited about the momentum that we see for women's basketball, people buzzing about the tournament, and of course a lot of superstars, of which you have one in Juju. But how do we, and I'll say we because I played college basketball, how do we keep that going so that it doesn't wane when some of these players depart?
They're not departing. I think it's only up from here. I mean, obviously, you know, Caitlin's gonna go to the WNBA and hopefully bring her popularity there. But the game is exploding. I mean, Juju is unbelievable, and she's amongst a freshman class of other great ones too. You know, Hannah and Madison Booker at Texas and Michaela Williams at LSU. I think we're gonna continue to see the talent. I think the difference is, now it's on TV. Now there's an investment
yes.
in it. I mean, it's not shocking. Put women's sports on TV and people will get into it. I think the game has grown. I think Caitlin did something courageous going to Iowa. I think Juju did something courageous going to USC. I know that sounds wild, but in women's basketball, for so long, the best players only went to two or three schools. And now it's like, okay, whose turn is it to win a national championship? And, you know, now you have players saying, well, I can go to a school and maybe make that school great, or draw other people to come with. And all of a sudden, the game is more exciting. I think the game is in really good hands. As Caitlin departs, I think Juju's going to get those same crowds she already has. She's going to pass it along to the next generation. But invest in women's sports, put it on TV where people can see it, and I think this thing's going to continue to skyrocket.
You definitely mentioned the depth, and it's changed so much in college basketball. So going back to your days at Cal, or even some of your earlier days in coaching, how competitive is it now compared to what it was like then?
I mean, obviously, ever since, you know, I've been in coaching, we've always, you know, it's been competitive to get recruits, or, you know, you want to try and win your conference or be at the top of your conference. I just think, looking at the growth of the Pac-12, for example, now you have a situation in which, I mean, there's legitimately six teams from our league, seven teams that you wouldn't be shocked if someone made a Final Four. And I think we're seeing that across the board. I mean, there's just the depth of talent is great. I think these young players are coming in equipped and prepared. They have really good trainers or coaches coming up. So I think it's always been good. I think it's been a little bit of an untold story, a little bit of a secret. And now you have really splashy players getting more attention, so there's more eyes on it. But I think our game's been really good for a long time. But I think what I'm seeing more is the depth of talent across the board and it being spread out amongst a lot more teams.
Lindsey Gottlieb is with us from L.A., coaching USC into the NCAA tournament coming up, the game against Texas A&M Corpus Christi on their own campus, and that's this Saturday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned Juju. All right, unfair, loaded question, Coach, but what makes her so special?
Oh, man, we probably don't have enough time, but a couple things. Like, if you watch her, I don't know that there have been too many, you know, female players, certainly not at 18 years old, with her combination of power, skill, explosiveness, shiftiness, basketball IQ. She's really an artist on the court. She brings it all. She's almost unguardable in transition. You know, she's got a great pull-up. She makes the right reads. She makes those around her better. You know, she can rebound. She can pass the ball. But beyond the basketball, the technical things and the stats, if you think about it, to be that good and have your teammates respond to you in the way that hers do is a really telling factor. This season would not have gone this way if I had this great, you know, 18-year-old and people didn't like playing with her. She's been magnetic. She's made those around her more confident. She's gotten people to rally with her. And I think that's a very cool thing. We have other hoopers. We have other excellent players, don't get me wrong. But I think everyone walks around with a little more swagger and a little more confidence because Juju gives that to them, and that's a really positive quality. She's a winner. We went from pick six in our conference to a one seed in the NCAA tournament. We've seen every coverage for her this year, and three, four, five people put on her, and she just makes the right play, and I think it's elevated our team. And I don't think she gets enough credit, not just for her individual talent, but for the way that she's really revived a program and brought others along with her and what she does for the community. I think she's really important, and I think that's going to play out over the next several years as well.
Interesting that you say that, because Lisa said the same thing about Caitlin Clark. She's an amazing teammate. The teammates around her love to play with her and actually are really excited about her success, as opposed to being jealous or getting tired of her always being in the spotlight.
You know what, our players like winning. Right. So they had confetti falling on their heads. Right. We've gotten to celebrate a lot. We've beaten great teams and they've done their part. I mean, that was very, you know, widely talked about in the Pac-12 final. Ju had scored 51 at Maples, you know, and Tara's the greatest coach in the history of college basketball, men or women. Right. The most wins. Right. And she came with a game plan where she said, OK, anybody but Juju, and put essentially four people on her. And Mackenzie Forbes goes nuts and scores a bunch. And Rhea Marshall's dominating the inside of the board. So we have other players, but I think they really like to win. And who doesn't want to be part of that? And Juju is a selfless superstar. She deflects attention at times. She gets a lot of attention, but she shares that stage. And she is a really nice, fun, humble person. And so, yeah, she's easy to be around, which obviously makes my job easier, but it's been nothing but positive for us.
So as you head into the tournament, seems like 60 points is kind of the magic number for you guys. If you can hold opponents under that number, you're unbeaten. How would you describe your defensive philosophy?
So it's funny. Last year, I thought we clawed our way into the NCAA tournament on the back of our defense. I have an incredible associate head coach, Beth Burns. Nobody does defense better. And so this year, obviously, there's more talk about offensive stuff, but I think we're very long. You know, Rhea Marshall, who was a defensive player of the year finalist last year, has only gotten better. You know, like, she's still a shot blocker, but now she quarterbacks the whole thing. Juju's really long, and Mackenzie Forbes and Caitlin Davis is a terrific defender. So we do a lot more switching. We get deflections. We're not necessarily full court pressuring the same way that we did last year, but I think we use our athleticism and our length to our advantage. We try to be hard to score on. And that's a key for us, because if we can get stops, I think we can push and run and transition. Obviously, it's tougher, you know, when that other team's putting the ball through the net. So we really like to use our length and hopefully get some stops and get out on the other end of the floor.
Does it matter that you had the experience last year and some of your players had a taste of the tournament before?
I think so. I was watching the first four game last night that happened to be at Virginia Tech, which is where we were last year, and it definitely brought back memories. I think Our program trajectory has continued to grow, so there's been a lot of firsts. But, yes, I definitely feel like the experience for Rhea, for Clarice, our guys who were there last year, helps. But a lot of it just is a new team. And what I've tried to really hone in on with them, and they were terrific with this in the Pac-12 tournament, is carrying two things with us all the time. Number one is joy and like having 2 feet in the moment and still being excited and happy to play. Because I've seen some of these other top teams with the weight of the world on their shoulders, and we haven't had that. So I want that joy. And at the same time, you want that juxtaposed with the urgency of a one-and-done situation, which is where we are. And so I thought in the Pac-12 tournament we were loose and we were having fun, but we were some tough mofos out there too, right? Because we knew it was win or go home. And so that's what we want to carry. And I think that's more been about what we've been about versus first time or veteran. Like, it's more just trying to be in the present moment.
Well, the joy is clearly evident on their faces, and also that sense of urgency with this season that evokes memories of the late 80s and the mid 90s and some of the greats at USC. It's an awesome privilege to have you on the show, Lindsay Gottlieb. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes, and good luck moving forward.
Thanks, Amy, for having me. This has been great.
She used to listen to us when she worked for the Cavaliers and would get into her car after a long road trip. I actually hear that from a lot of NBA traveling parties, whether coaches or broadcasters, even players at times, who will say, we get back to the airport, we have to hop in our cars, it's 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and your show is everywhere. Well, yes, we designed it that way. We like it that way.
I would listen to you sometimes on my drive home. We would get home really late. You would land.
Love that. That's amazing. So really cool. A first for us here on After Hours. Not only did we have the Iowa head coach, Lisa Bluter, after the Hawkeyes earned a 1 seed, but then just before the tournament tips off, Coach Lindsay Gottlieb of USC, another 1 seed. Plus, we had Alex Caravan of the top-seeded UConn Huskies on the men's side. This might be the first time we've ever had reps from 3 different top seeds. There's only 8 of them, and we hit 3 of them in the last week. Amazing stuff. You can find all of our interviews podcasted separately. Just Google it, After Hours Amy Lawrence Podcast, or if you want to go the social media route, you can find the links on both our Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Just have to scroll through and find them. But honestly, once you find a link to the podcast, you go to the page, and that will take you in order backwards through the various podcast links. So it's pretty easy to do. All you got to find is a link or find the page. If you search for it, tell your Alexa or tell your somebody else. What is the other one? Alexa and Siri? Oh, Siri. I don't have any of those things because they're listening to you. Actually, your phone is listening to you all the time. Want to hear something crazy about Oreos? Okay, I'll tell you after this break. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. March Madness, baby, here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Still come, how I lost all three 10 seeds on the opening day of the men's NCAA tournament. I picked three 10 seeds for reasons that I could outline to you, two of them coming from the Mountain West. And I do believe the Mountain West was underseeded across the board, even though it got a record six teams into the field. And then I lost on another 10 seed that had a fairly sizable lead. In fact, both Nevada and Drake had sizable leads in the second half, only to see them evaporate. Maybe they got tight. The shots, it's almost as though their ability to score completely shriveled up and died in the second half. So it's pretty impressive to see the seven seeds, Dayton and Washington State, come rallying back. But certainly, I was thinking, man, I'm in good shape. These 10 seeds, other than Colorado State, it was pretty clear that CSU was worn out after coming off of the win in Dayton. And so that did not transpire. But I had to pick one first four survivor because in 11 of the last 12 years, there has been a team from the first four that's gone on to win a game in the main bracket. Not Colorado State, I'll tell you that right now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So about Oreos, I feel like the fact that I'm sitting here talking about Oreos with my phone laying on the desk in front of me, it's going to produce the same result as what happened in my home earlier this week. Okay, so here's why I was talking about Oreos. My nieces and I share the same birthday weekend. So my younger niece has a birthday the day before mine. My older niece is 2 days after me. And I won't see them this year. My sister-in-law decided they needed the weekend to prepare for their vacation. So, yeah, we're not allowed to visit. She's special. And so anyway, we are having to mail gifts to them. And so I have a couple of gifts that I purchased for them that I know they'll like. But I also wanted to bake for them because both nieces are big into baking. I'm not sure it has anything to do with me, but maybe I've inspired them some. Recently, my younger niece baked banana bread with chocolate chips because, of course, you can't have plain banana bread. It has to have chocolate chips. So chocolate chip banana bread, and it looked delicious. My older niece is big into scones and fancy foo-foo desserts that you would get at a tea party. So they both love to bake. So I enjoy trying to impress them with my baking. Sometimes it's cookies. My older niece adores the oatmeal caramel chewy bar. She thinks those are divine. But this year, I'm going something completely different. Are you ready, Jay? Maybe, if you're lucky, I will bring you one to sample.
I'm very interested.
These are birthday Oreo cookie muffins. Oreo cookie muffins.
There's a lot going on there. A lot of good things going on there.
Well, it's muffins, but
cookie muffins.
Oreo cookie muffins.
Oh, I see. So like a muffin, just Oreo themed.
Yeah, Oreo cookie muffins.
I got it.
So you thought I meant they look like cookies?
Yes.
Oh.
The
cookie goes with the Oreo, not with the muffin.
Got it.
Okay.
Got it.
Oreo muffins.
Oreo muffins.
Right, but I don't know if that tells you the full story. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay, so I was looking through, now this is not online. I was looking through a baking book that I have that my mom gave me with all kinds of amazing bread and muffin and even some spreads and butter recipes. Incredible. I actually was originally searching for Irish soda bread and couldn't find a recipe. So instead, as I'm going through muffins, I see, what is this? Oreo cookie muffins. So I'm talking about it in my kitchen with my hubs. Hey, what do you think of this recipe? And I start reading out loud the different ingredients that I would need. Have them all in the house except for the Oreo cookies. So I say out loud, again, in earshot of my phone, I'm going to need to buy some Oreo cookies. Do you know what I have seen the last 3 days on any Google search out there? Ads for Oreo cookies. I did not search online. I didn't look at the recipe on my phone. All I did was say that I needed to buy some Oreo cookies. And my phone decided, well, hey, we'll help you out with that. Isn't that crazy?
That
crazy.
Happens.
But also disturbing.
incredibly disturbing. That happens way too often. You didn't tell the phone. If you searched Oreo cookies, maybe that'd be one thing. But it's listening without your consent.
Mm. It is. It's eavesdropping. Fine. Except that probably somewhere in your phone or when you signed the whatever contract with all the fine print, or maybe you agreed to terms of service and didn't read through them. Who does that? My brother is into security and hacking and all that stuff. He's incredibly smart when it comes to software and protecting companies, but also he's worked on the other side of it. What can companies harvest? What information can they take legally from their subscribers or employees or vendors? So I know that they're listening to me, but it's crazy that you don't even have to be searching for something online. You can be completely unplugged looking through a book, but if you're listening, or if your phone is listening to you, they then know to put an ad the next time you open up Facebook or you do a Google search. There's an ad for Oreo cookies.
Anything. I hate that.
Uh-huh. It's seriously disturbing.
That's a breach.
Oh, yeah, it's some kind of a breach.
It's got to be a breach.
It's a breach of your privacy. It really is. However, the Oreo cookie muffins, or I guess to not confuse Jay, the Oreo muffins, that just sounds not as good as Oreo cookie.
I think Oreo muffins sounds good.
See, I think Oreo cookie muffins.
Oh, that sounds great,
sounds amazing. But so, yes, all chocolate, all Oreo cookies. And when I was purchasing them on, I guess it was Thursday morning, at the grocery store, I decided after perusing, first of all, I got a family size because why not have extras just in case something goes horribly wrong. I purchased a family size double stuff Oreos. So mine are going to be double stuff muffins. That actually sounds pretty badass. Double stuffed Oreo muffins.
Double stuffed Oreo cookie muffins is a fire name.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait. So that's going to be next week because I have to get them in the mail. I'll probably have to make them and then maybe freeze them so they can make the trip to the D.C. area without getting smooshed. But I'll wrap them in bubble wrap and make sure that they're all set to get to my nieces. But I'm pretty excited about trying something brand new. Double stuffed Oreo muffins.
Now, would you ice them?
Nah, I'm not good at icing.
No?
No, it's not my area of expertise. So when my best friend made the cupcakes for the wedding, she allowed my younger niece and I to help ice them. But I don't think mine turned out nearly as well.
Icing normally looks good, I would say.
I don't ice a lot of things.
When you have?
In the past, but that's because I only show you the ones that have really nice icing. It's not great. So one time I tried to put the icing or the frosting into a plastic bag because you're supposed to puncture a hole in the corner and then you could use it like you squeeze it. It's almost like you're trying to think of, it turns out to almost like
I know what you're talking about.
Icing bag. It's like your own homemade icing bag, except I forgot to seal the top. So as I was squeezing it, it was like a toothpaste tube that has an opening at the top and the opening at the bottom. The icing was coming out the bottom. Yeah, it was not my finest moment in the kitchen. So I try not. I very rarely make cupcakes. I do make muffins. I'm getting better at muffins. And I have some muffin, they're not tins, but the silicone muffin holders that my other niece gave me for birthday a couple of years ago. So I feel like I can do all of these things in my kitchen as long as Bob stays out of the way. Stay out of here, Bob. Now, he's warned me that if I open the Oreo bag, he's not responsible for how many disappear. And I said, fine, just make sure that, first of all, make sure you wipe all the evidence off your face and out of your teeth because Oreos stick in your teeth. And second of all, just leave me 20 because that's what I need for the muffins.
20 Oreos? That's fair.
I need 20 double-stuffed Oreos for the muffins.
My family doesn't let me buy Oreos anymore.
Why?
Because they eat them more than I do, and they're like, they don't buy them, so the only person who would buy them would be me. So if they're in the house, they eat them.
Got you.
So they're banned.
I got you. Oh, that's
banned
too bad.
Banned substance.
Maybe that's what Jimmy Garoppolo was using. He didn't have a prescription for his double-stuffed Oreos.
You need that.
All right. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. An update. The latest, and this is even more unbelievable, from the Shohei Ohtani camp. After the Dodgers get blasted in their second game in the Seoul series, so much for Yamamoto's debut. It was a rough.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I can't comment on it, man. On that, can't comment.
Was the decision made to have him address the team?
Anything with that, the meeting, can't comment. Sorry.
Were you surprised when you found out he was fired when that happened?
Again, can't say anything. I'm not going to comment, guys.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Dave Roberts before the second game of the Soul Series. This is right after the Ohtani news just completely stole the attention and the spotlight from baseball on the field to what was happening behind the scenes going back to last fall. And again, it's still very murky. The facts, well, we don't know if we have them. We don't know what's true, what's not true. There's a lot of questions still, but Dave Roberts won't answer any of them. And I have no doubt that that's exactly what the Dodgers and Major League Baseball have told him to do, because that's the way to avoid, you hope, avoid and try to stay out of the fray. That's what the Dodgers want. They want this to not be a greater distraction, except I'm not sure how you can avoid it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, after we get off the air at 6:05 Eastern, 3:05 LA and San Diego time, so this is going back now, nearly 24 hours, the Dodgers get on the field. Ohtani, to me, looked different. His face looked different. Now, he did get up. Right away gets a hit. So, yes, and he had a good game. I mean, it didn't affect his hitting. I actually said to a friend of mine, I can imagine it's a humongous relief for him to go out there on the field, stand in that batter's box, and focus on nothing but the way the ball comes out of the pitcher's hand. That's all he has to do in that moment. And because most athletes are able to focus and hone in, often we know that they can operate at the highest level despite a personal tragedy, maybe the loss of a parent or a brother, a friend. And in this case for Ohtani, everything swirling around him and this scandal and the accusations of his longtime friend, business partner, interpreter, being now officially accused of bilking millions from him. Well, somehow Ohtani was able to put that aside and get out there and play. And Dave Roberts did tell us there was never a chance he wasn't going to play. So he squashed that right away. Now, that didn't help the Dodgers because their other high-priced Japanese player, ends up getting blasted in the first inning. This is Yoshinobu Yamamoto making his debut in the Seoul Series. He didn't even last an inning. And the Padres had what felt like 17 runs scored before they ever got to the bottom of the first inning. Maybe the most entertaining game you've seen in a while. Well, it's probably one of the first games you've seen in a while. But yeah, it was a tough one. Mookie Betts did have a home run. First one of the 2024 season. Man, he already has 7 RBI, by the way. Okay, he's off to a start. But the Padres had more than enough. In fact, they scored 15 against the Dodgers. As for Yamamoto, I suppose his blow-up of a debut gave Dave Roberts something else to talk about besides Shohei Ohtani.
Just didn't have the command. And so, it's not about the stuff. You know, when you're a command guy, which he's been his entire career, his life, and you just misfire, get behind in counts, hit batters, that's just not who he is. And so we just got to get back to refining the delivery, tightening up the command, and he'll be fine. But, it's just one of those things that he's an easy guy that, he'll bounce back from this.
So that's Dave Roberts talking about Yamamoto. Shohei Ohtani was not made available. In fact, he seemed like he was cordoned off by bodies. His team wanted him nowhere near the media, as you can imagine. I think watching Yamamoto and listening to it actually on Dodgers radio when I was in the car on the way home. Well, way to the grocery store and then on the way home. That he was maybe nervous. This is all new for him. I wouldn't expect this to be the case moving forward. Although it is funny how quickly people rush to judgment. Oh, wasted money. He's a bust. After one start. All right. Jake Cronenworth made up for the ball that went through his glove in the opener. He tied a career high with 4 hits and 4 RBI. And the Padres end up with the win. So the two teams split. But let's be fair, that's not what most people are talking about after the Seoul series is done. Presumably now the teams have landed back in the United States. And the latest we heard is that Ohtani's camp are asking the authorities, law enforcement, don't say which agency, but have asked law enforcement to investigate the, quote, massive theft from Ohtani. And they've already accused Ippei Mitsuhara as being the one who bilked that money to cover his gambling debts. All right, here's the latest that we know. A Major League Baseball source says the league has not been contacted by federal authorities. Instead, baseball is now working on trying to gather facts, but they're obviously following along this federal investigation into the gambling probe that did reveal the Shohei Ohtani wire transfers of $500,000 each. Here's the funny part. According to Shohei Ohtani's camp, Ohtani had no knowledge of Mitsuhara's gambling activities, the debts, any chance to repay them, and only found out what was happening. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm passing this along. Only found out what was happening when Mitsuhara apologized to the team and told them that the gambling story was about to come out. If you could see my face right now, mouth open, mouth agape. That's ridiculous. Yes, so Mitsuhara apologized to the team after their season opener. We had told you that 24 hours ago. He told them he had a gambling addiction. He told them a negative story was coming out later in the day. And according to Ohtani's camp, that was the first time that Shohei knew what was happening and started asking questions. Except Mitsuhara had already done the interview with ESPN, courtesy of Ohtani's camp, the day before that. So how are we supposed to believe that's even accurate? The timeline's a little suspect. There's more, by the way. Mitsuhara was asked about the changing, or not Mitsuhara, but Shohei Ohtani's camp was asked about the changing stories and how one day he said, Ohtani helped me. He paid off my debts as a friend. He was angry with me, which is why he sent the wire transfers. He didn't want me to have the money. To not even 24 hours later. Again, that was Mitsuhara made available by Shohei Ohtani's camp. They set up the interview with ESPN. Ohtani's people did, not Mitsuhara. So they sent him to go do an interview with ESPN, only to then retract the story and say, no, he stole from Ohtani. Ohtani knew nothing about it until Mitsuhara apologized to the team. That's crazy. But there's more. There's more. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.